That I talked to Senator Mona Sanderson about it already, but yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Health Care. It is March 23rd, and we have a number of work sessions, and so I would like to start with those to get them out of the way since we have a quorum. I'd like to open a work session on 367 with the dash one amendments, I believe. Right. So can we have the door shut?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 367, brought to you by Senators Hansel, Knope, and Steiner-Hayward, and Representative Barreto. The bill received a public hearing in this committee on March 7th. The bill would allow a healthcare provider to disclose an inmate's health information without authorization from the individual while employee of a Department of Corrections facility is exposed to the inmate's bodily fluids, would limit disclosure protected health information to communicable diseases. There is a dash one amendment. The dash one amendment specifies that an inmate's personal health information can only be shared provider to provider. There are no revenue or fiscal impacts. The impact statements are available on OLIS, and the committee has the necessary paperwork to move the bill if it so desires.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash one amendment dated 3/3/17 to Senate Bill 367.
Senator Cruz moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated 3/3/17 to Senate Bill 367. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
I'm sure I move Senate Bill 367 as amended by the dash one amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 367 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just for a quick follow-up, Senator Knope and I continue to work on another bill to address issues around county corrections and other public safety personnel who may be put in analogous situations. So, a separate bill.
A separate bill. Yeah. All right. All right. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Byer?
Excused.
Senator Knope?
Excused.
Senator Steiner-Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair Mona Sanderson?
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Hansel will carry the bill. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 367 and open a work session on Senate Bill 368.
Oliver. Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you is Senate Bill 368, brought to you by Senators Hansel and Steiner-Hayward and Representative Barreto. The bill also received a public hearing in front of this committee on March 7th. The bill requires commercial insurance carriers to reimburse a local municipality for the cost of medical services provided to an insured juvenile that's in a detention facility. The bill requires insurance carriers to accept credentials of a health care provider who is an employee or contractor of a detention facility unless insurer provides written notice. There are no amendments, no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, impact statements or OLIS. And the committee also has the necessary paperwork if it so moves to desire to move the bill.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 368 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 368 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Byer.
Excused.
Senator Knope.
Excuse. Well, just a minute. Senator Byer is here. We'll see if he wants to vote on Senate Bill. It's Senator Hansel's bill, Senate Bill 368.
Yes.
No, Senator Byer votes yes. Okay, where are we?
Senator
Steiner-Hayward.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Mock.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Hansel will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 368, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 423.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 423, brought to you by Senator Steiner Hayward. The bill received a public hearing on February 23rd. The bill would permit physician assistants to dispense controlled substances 3 and 4 under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, would take effect January 1st, 2018. No amendments. There is no revenue impact, and there is a minimal fiscal impact. The impact statements are on OLIS.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 423 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 423 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to put on the record, I understand that according to the way we set up the prescription drug monitoring program, that dispensing providers, not pharmacists, are not technically required to report their the prescriptions they dispense to the prescription drug monitoring program. I think this was an omission on the part of the legislature when we first passed it. Yeah. I would hope that as the board of pharmacy reviews their rules around physician assistant dispensing, that mm-hmm. they use this opportunity to remedy that. If we need a statutory fix for that, then we can either do that in this bill on the House side, or we can do separate legislation going forward. But I think anybody who dispenses a controlled substance should be reporting it to this prescription drug monitoring program, and I would hope that certainly PAs, and I see Mr. Bergstein nodding your head, so that's good, would do so voluntarily, even if they don't have to, before the rules are in place. So that's, I think, an important component of not just this bill, but of our entire work to protect people from inappropriate use of controlled substances.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I just want to echo what Senator Steiner Hayward said. I think it's absolutely appropriate.
Thank you, sir.
All right. No further discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer.
Yes.
Senator Kuhn.
Excused.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Monahan.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Steiner Hayward will carry the bill. And I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 46.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 46, brought to you by the Oregon Health Authority. The bill removes references to the Public Employees Benefit Board and the Oregon Educators Benefit Board from the Oregon Insurance Code. There are no amendments. There is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. Statements are posted on OLIS, and the committee has the necessary paperwork on the bill.
Okay, and Kathy Loretz. Is it Loretz?
Loretz, yes, thank you. Chair Mona Sanderson, member of the committee, my name is Kathy Loretz. I'm the director of both Oregon Educators Benefit Board and the Public Employees Benefit Board. Thank you for having me here today. Senate Bill 46 is a simple bill. It only proposes to move references of PEB and OAB currently in the Oregon Insurance Code. That's Chapter 743 to ORS Chapter 243, and that chapter is the one that covers PEB and OAB. The rationale behind this proposed change is also simple. Both PEB and OAB are not under the jurisdiction of the Oregon Insurance Division or Department of Consumer and Business Services, and current statutory references to these plans in the insurance code confuse which state agency bears the responsibility for ensuring that PEB and OAB plans are compliant with statutory mandates. Current references to PEB in the insurance code are particularly confusing, as self-funded plans, as most PEB plans are exempt under federal law, that's the ERISA laws, from state insurance mandates. Senate Bill 46 only seeks to move three current references in the Oregon insurance code. That is ORS 743A 058, that deals with coverage for telemedicine. ORS 743B 601, dealing with synchronizing prescription refills. And ORS 743B 810, which deals with the coordination of enrollees covered by workers' compensation. Senate Bill 46 will not remove the obligation of PEB and OAB to comply with these provisions. It only will consolidate regulations of PEB and OAB plans in one place in statute, and that is Chapter 243. Although OAB and PEB do not fall under the insurance code's jurisdiction, both have worked cooperatively with the division to ensure that changes in insurance regulations are implemented by their plans. Both PEB and OAB also work with the insurance division to respond to any requests or complaints made to the division by our plan membership. This collaboration will continue under Senate Bill 46, but will simplify and clarify statutory oversight of PEB and OAB. In addition to this immediate cleanup, PEB and OAB hope that the changes in Senate Bill 46 will ensure that future legislation proposing to impact both entities covered by the insurance code and PEB and OAB are properly placed in statute. And thank you for your time and consideration for Senate Bill 46. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Is DCBS in the room? I had a conversation with DCBS, and I was very comfortable with what they told me, but it would have been nice for them to have this put on the record that they were very cooperatively with PEB and OAB and had no problems with this particular change. And I can't. Do any of you have questions? Do any of you have problems? Great. Okay, with that, there's no one else signed up for the bill, no questions. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 46 and open a public hearing, work session on Senate Bill 46.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 46 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 46 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Knoll?
Excused?
Senator
Henry?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Chair
Monahan? Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Cruz, would you carry the bill?
Okay.
All right. Senator Cruz will carry the bill, and I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 46, and I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 783.
Great. Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 783, the measure would require insurers to provide enrollees and health care providers with information on covered benefits and a health plan that is user-friendly. Grants the Department of Consumer Business Services rulemaking authority to implement provisions of the measure. Takes effect January 1st. There are no impact statements and no amendments.
All right. Let's see. Okay, Terry Mizek and Stephen Kafori and Donna Wolf.
Senator Moynihan Sanderson, members of the committee, my name is Terry Mizek. Thank you for sponsoring this bill and for the public hearing here today. As the bill indicates, it is about providing a user-friendly procedure for enrollees or insured, or I will call them a patient, and their medical providers. And the purpose of this is to provide more transparency, accountability, and clarity, and remove some of the ambiguities. I'm aware of the enactment in the last regular session in 2015 of ORS 743B420, the prior authorization requirements. But let me tell you some of the stories that I've not just heard, but I've actually seen the paperwork on. Even with the statute in place, there are individuals who need, for example, 8 chemotherapy treatments. After 4 chemotherapy treatments, all of which were approved, and the patient believed that all of the chemotherapy would be approved, then it was denied, and you were leaving patients in the position of declaring bankruptcy and losing their home or continuing treatment that can save their life. That's one example. Another example is sometimes where there is, for the number 4, FDA-approved treatments per year. The insurer is now just doing them one at a time for one particular day on very short notice, making the patient and the doctor each have to reapply for every single treatment. Another one, 9 months after the treatment, it's denied. And you're going to hear from Donna Wolf here about how it's approved, then later shifted to the patient or the doctor. Let me read to you why we need some of this clarity. This is an actual example of the pre-authorization. This letter is in response to a request for services/procedures. The following service/procedure has been approved as medically necessary. And it sets forth there. But then it includes this. Approval through the healthcare management department is not a guarantee of payment of benefits. So then the insurers act that way. So there may be some housekeeping that you want to address under this bill, but certainly we want something that's user-friendly so that a patient can go forward and see whether each and every treatment is pre-approved before they make a decision to undergo it. I'm happy to answer any questions. Also happy.
Let's go through the panel, and then we'll open it up for discussion.
Thank you.
Chair, Monise Anderson and members of the committee, I thank you for allowing me. My name is Donna Wolf, and I was going to have a procedure done. I called my insurance to make sure if I was covered, and they said, yes, you are covered for this procedure. And they recorded the conversation, and I sent the bill through to them, and then it came back that they're not going to pay it. So then I called the insurance company, and I said, I don't understand. You told me you were paying this. And they said, oh, let me look here. Yes, it is recorded that we said that, but we can't do that. So they said, well, you should appeal it because you'll win. So I appealed it, and I appealed it to the fullest extent, and I still did not get anything from my insurance company. Where I feel if someone says they're going to do something, I think they should follow through. My husband and I had a business for 25 years. If an employee said something that was out of line or something we didn't cover, we made it good. And I feel that I was lost to their detriment, that I lost in this case.
What insurance carrier was it?
Moda.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious, did you file a complaint with the insurance commissioner?
Yes, I filed all kinds of procedures of complaints and went to the full, and they spent a lot of time in fighting with me as I didn't back down. I just kept going until
probably been cheaper for them to pay the claim.
It would have been a lot cheaper had they just paid for the procedure, yes.
It's ridiculous.
Thank you. Stephen?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Cafori. I'm appearing today on behalf of the Oregon Association of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. This is not my bill. I just happened to see it when I was going through the bills that had been introduced. And I said, we're having this problem. This is a very narrow bill. We have a much broader bill that is we've introduced in the House, 2778, that you're going to see sometime when it comes over to you, I hope. But just this narrow bill is really significant. Our patients and our providers have this problem all the time, just with the simple issue of trying to get a straightforward answer. This is especially a problem with reauthorization, where, for example, most of our insurance policies say that we can have like 12 visits or $1,000, whatever. So we call it for a pre-authorization, and they say, yeah, here's your pre-authorization, but we're going to give you 4 visits. So we do 4 visits. The patient's not done yet because most of the patients in acupuncture need 10, 12 visits. So we have to go back for reauthorization. During that reauthorization time, it's very complicated. Who do we talk to? How do we get a straight answer back? There's no telephone number that you can call. You can try using their website. It's especially a problem, Madam Chair, because a number of insurance companies nowadays are using third-party contractors to do their pre-authorization. So when you call the insurance company says, you know, talk to the third-party contractor, don't talk to me. And then you call the third-party contractor and you say, well, call back to the insurance company. And, you know, our folks don't make a lot of money. We're not MDs. And we're charging $35, $50 an hour for patients. We can't afford to spend an hour on the phone going back and forth and back and forth. We need a simple process, one person you can call, not a phone tree that says push one and push two, but somebody you can call and get a straight answer and have it quickly. This problem with reauthorization is really a difficult one because not just for us in our bottom line, but it's also a problem for patients because we have set out a course of treatment. Like we expect to do 12 treatments on this person who's having pain from an automobile accident, for example. And after the first 4, then we have to go back and get reauthorization. And during that period of time, if it's a long period of time getting reauthorization because there's no quick and easy process, then that patient will regress. And so we have a patient problem, not just a problem of difficulty with the providers. So we urge your support of this bill.
Okay, so what this bill does, it requires the insurers to have a user-friendly procedure for enrollees and providers to access coverage information. It's hard to define what a user-friendly procedure is, but again, is DCBS here to speak to this? All right. We will get them to put something on the record on actually the last bill and this bill.
Madam Chair, okay. We have suggested, we had a meeting with Moda just the other day because they're starting to go to a third-party contractor. The one thing they require of the third-party contractor is a single phone number where their human being answers the phone. That shouldn't be a hard thing for someone to provide. And we also want to make sure that with this, should this bill pass, that it's understood that the insurance company also has responsibility not for themselves, just for themselves, but for their third-party contractors, so that transparency goes all the way through the system.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Any further questions for them? All right. Let's call up Elise Brown.
Hello, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Elise Brown for America's Health Insurance Plans. AHIP is the National Trade Association of Health Plan members across the country. And I'm here to say, first off, I'm here with questions. As we read this bill, we have the same question that you do, and what is meant by user-friendly procedures? I will tell you that just as standard practice for all health plans, our AHIP Oregon members, all the medical policies are posted on the website. We understand by earlier testimony that there's some confusion about the website, but that's where the medical policies are posted. Also customary is to have a member customer service line that I believe goes directly to a actual person. And providers have access to a provider line where they can access the plan information also. So we would say, I'm here to say that we've got this. It's readily accessible. If we need to one-off some of these instances that you've heard about today, I'm hopeful that we can work through those with individual plan members. So I simply wanted to be here today to state that number one, what is meant by user-friendly, and then just to let you know that we do have policies and procedures that are at public and member dispense. So thank you very much.
Yes, Senator Beyer.
I hear you, Elise, but apparently it didn't work, at least in a few instances.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Beyer, I think that there are some one-off examples that we need to peel back and take a look at, and it sounded like there's an attempt to do that with MODA. That was the example that was shared. If there's others, I think there's an opportunity to have that conversation with the department.
I don't know the law in this area, but it strikes me that if they're going to the trouble to record calls, which is not uncommon, and if they give an affirmative action, that whether it was covered or not, they ought to cover it. Maybe we ought to make sure that the statute covers that.
Madam Chair, it's Senator Beyer. I'm sure that we are bound by that. So, again, I think that we need to understand what the example that was shared, and that should be shared and discussed with MODA, as that was the example that was discussed. So I can't speak to, certainly when something is approved and ultimately not, there must be some circumstance for that to happen, and I can't speak to that specifically, but it's my hope that MODA will sit down and have this conversation with those that testified earlier.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. What I'd like to do with this bill is, first of all, get DCBS to come in and testify. Can we carry over this public hearing to next Tuesday?
Madam Chair,
yeah, that's right.
If we're asking DCBS, I'd rather not have their lobbyists. I'd rather have the commissioner.
Can we make that
directly answering those questions?
I see the lobbyists will come too. I'm sure the commissioner. I know that for Marilyn and for For Terry and for Donna, what we're going to be doing, it doesn't mean you need to come back. If we needed to contact you, we could always reach you by phone, but we just need clarification now from the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs. So that's what we're going to do with this particular bill. All right? Okay. No further discussion? All right. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 46 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 780. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 783. And I'd like to open. Do we have paperwork yet for this one?
We don't. We can suspend the rules.
Okay. Would you want to suspend the rules on. Okay, so I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 215.
Yep.
No, which one?
Sorry. 215, we're just moving it. But we need to suspend the rules first, right?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of moving Senate Bill 215 without recommendation back to the President's desk for a referral to another committee.
Okay, Senator Cruz moves to move Senate Bill 215 without recommendation.
No, I move to suspend the rules.
We move to suspend the rules so that we can move Senate Bill 215 without recommendation back to the Senate President for re-referral to another committee. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 215 without recommendation back to the Senate President for a re-referral to another committee.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 215 without recommendation back to the Senate President for a re-referral to another committee. Is there any discussion? Any opposition to that? So ordered. Okay. So then I will close the work session on, what was this?
215.
Senate Bill 215 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 784.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, before you, Senate Bill 784. The measure would require insurers that serve the individual and group markets in Oregon to reimburse providers of women's health care that do not participate in the insurer's network at the same rate as providers within the insurer's network. There's no impact statements, no amendments.
All right, Terry Mythak and Donna Wolf again.
Good afternoon again, Chair Senator Dermonis Anderson and members of the committee. And again, my name is Terry Mythak, and I am just a private citizen. This bill is basically, as it states, the purpose of it is gender neutrality. Increasingly, as more specific treatments and procedures are available, those are only, I shouldn't say only, they're mainly concentrated in areas like Portland, even Salem. I have been referred to Portland, which is an out-of-network for me. So the specialists are often out-of-network providers. But the purpose of this, as I indicated, is gender neutrality. And if the committee was open to having it for males as well, that would be perfectly fine. Thank you.
All right. Questions? Okay. We've dealt with this subject often about in-network and out-of-network, and there are reasons to have in-network and out-of-network, and most of that is because of funding issues, but now we have other bills cropping up, like on the Senate side, where we want to provide a lot of women's health services without any co-pays. All right. So there's no discussion. We will call Elise Brown to come up. Oh, Donna. I'm sorry. Donna. Go ahead, Elise, but Donna, please.
Chair Monise Anderson and members of the committee, I'm Donna Wolf. And again, I just wanted to confirm that this is a bill that I really believe in that would help us women and men too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. For the record, Elise Brown for America's Health Insurance Plans, and here today in opposition to this, and I apologize, I feel like I'm the pest visiting up here again. But Senator Mona Sanderson was right when she said we've had this conversation before, numerous sessions about the policy around out-of-networks and why provider networks are important. To ensure consumers have an affordable health care coverage options, health plans develop provider networks that give consumers access to a wide range of health care providers who deliver the high-quality care. This bill undermines the whole premise of why you would contract to be part of a provider network. So why would why have a contract if you could guarantee the same rate? So that's our question with this. Again, we look to provider networks to have the ability to negotiate provider rates and therefore keep costs down for our member plans. And so that's my testimony, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Questions from anyone?
All right. We're going to hold off on this. I need to just check to see how this relates to bills on the House side on this. All right. Thank you so much
for
bringing the bill to us, and a good conversation. It's generated some issues that we need to address.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 784, and boy, we whipped through the agenda fairly quickly. Is that it? Okay. With that, I will adjourn.
She's not telling scores.
Darn.
She's not telling scores. Well,